listening to Pop the Kettle On with Nicole Essio and Dr. Rachel Bushing. I'm Nicole.
I'm Rach.
And welcome to
Pop the Kettle On. This is a podcast in which two rad gals pop the kettle on, pop our feet up, and have a chat about our life through the lens of pop culture. Lifing, adulting, relationships, work, parenting, being a woman, and basically all of the things.
It's a chat between friends that we share with you. We try to pop in some life lessons too.
So pop the kettle on.
And we'll bring the sugar.
Hey, Rach.
Hello, Miss Nicole.
How you doing?
I'm good. Welcome back.
Welcome back. It's season 3.
Season 3. Woo, 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 woo.
I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done my homework, so I'm feeling very accomplished right now.
Well done, you. You only had 2 months to do it. Well done. Good job.
I managed to complete it in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
2 days before. I thought that was good. So what's been happening? How's things?
I don't know. Busy. Boring.
You? No.
How are you?
Busy. Boring. I like to think that, you know, we saved up all of our excitement for this particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
And you happen to have something in your hand to, you know, I don't know if anyone can see that, obviously. That's an interesting move you've got going there,
right? I'm trying to cheers the microphone.
Ah. Wine glass cheers.
Wine glass cheers.
Oh, there you go. That worked.
It was a little drunken stumble, but that's fitting.
Yeah.
I'm popping back with a rosé.
I know. We didn't pop kettle on at all. You brought me ice cream.
Pop the cork.
Pop the cork. Oh, my goodness. Well done.
You the puns are endless. Really. Genius.
But it's in honour of what we're talking about today.
Yeah. Mm. We popped the cork for wine country.
Wine country.
I'll stop saying wine.
Why? It's making me laugh.
Because it's like wine time.
Oh.
But I can't say that for the entire half hour. People probably will start not. Punching.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen.
Drink every time I say wine.
Hey, we should have a pop the kettle on, like, you know, bingo. What do you call it? Drinking game.
Yeah, we should.
I would make mine a chocolate game or a lolly game.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as we know, not a drinker.
Yes.
But other people can definitely make it a drinking game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
May have to make something up now.
So what, a tiny piece of chocolate every time instead of a sip?
Okay, tiny. What kind of crazy talk is that?
A row of chocolate.
A row of chocolate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, wine country, should we just get straight into
it? Let's just get straight into it.
All right, good.
Yeah.
I watched it.
You watched it. Well done.
Thank you very much.
A plus to you. Cheers to you.
Cheers to me. Gold
Cheers
star.
Cheers to you.
Yeah. I did watch it. And I had read some stuff beforehand that was kind of not overly effusive in its praise, can I say.
Mm-hmm.
And tend to agree. It had so much potential, Rach.
Yeah. I agree. Mm. Do you realise too that our final episode of season 2 was Sisters? So
Paula and
Faye
again. Mm.
Paula and Faye again.
We're bookending.
I know.
Accidental bookends.
I realised it 5 minutes before you got here.
Wow.
Mm, I was like, should I rave on about how amazing Amy Poehler is? And I'm like, haven't we done this before?
Yeah. She's amazing.
She's amazing. And she directed this one.
Hmm.
Mm. Yeah. I saw it like a couple of months ago.
Yep.
I think it came out. Oh, I did. I was looking it up before. It came out in like May.
Right.
So I must have seen it back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, you know, they're trying. I really enjoyed it though.
Did you?
Yeah. Did you really hate it?
I didn't really hate it. I love the concept, right? The whole idea, if you haven't seen Wine Country, and I don't think I'm selling it. Sorry. It's all about friends going on holidays, and they've been friends since they worked in a pizza place back in their youth, right? So these women are now turning 50. And they've been friends since those teen years. So they've gone through a lot together, obviously, trying to get together and have that sort of weekend, celebratory weekend is really tough, as we know. But yeah, they've obviously got a lot of history. Mm. There's different personalities at play. There's different interplay between different friends. You know how within a friendship group there's like little subcultures?
Mm, mm.
And so that kind of plays out as well.
Yeah.
There's
six of them, is there?
I think so. Mm. Yeah. Even though the sixth one always thinks she's being left out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
Mm.
But yeah.
And so they go away to Wan country.
To drink.
Stop. which is Napa.
Yeah, Napa Valley.
Yeah, yeah. As you do.
Can I just say how beautiful the scenery is, though?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is gorgeous.
Have you seen that movie Sideways?
Yes. I love that movie.
Yeah.
I love Sandra Oh.
Yeah. This could have been like, because that's a real buddy movie.
It is.
It's two male protagonists.
Mm-hmm.
Who have we got? We've got the guy, the gangly guy from the show.
And then Paul Giamatti. Giamatti?
Giamatti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the other guy, I feel like I want to say William H. Macy, and it's not. And no, I know it's not.
No.
But I can't think of Ned and Stacey.
Yes.
I can't think
of. I couldn't even think of the show. I was like, he was in a sitcom.
He was in the show. And I was picking up exactly what you were putting
in the
down
show. Just Ned and Stacey. Ned and Stacey guy.
Yeah. Ned.
Yeah, it's really well done, Sideways.
It's really well done.
Yeah, and the scenery in that is gorgeous as well. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder whether there was. I mean, this is the problem with, you know, because we're so used to seeing male protagonists, we always end up comparing a female-led film with something that some man has done.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's it's like, it's oh, it's the female, you know, Hangover, or it's the female, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it drives me insane.
Mm.
So I'm not going to say it's trying to be Sideways. It's trying to be its own thing.
Yeah.
But it's not, I don't think it's very successfully doing that.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think you're absolutely right. I think that it was made for Netflix movie.
Mm.
And I think Amy Poehler's first direction.
Yes, directorial from what I understand.
Debut. Because I did actually print off some reviews.
Ooh, do tell.
Most of them are kind of like scathing, like boring and plotless.
Ouch.
I printed off the positive ones. And it may actually just be that I wanted to like it more.
Yes.
But also the fact that I actually kind of didn't mind, because I feel like a movie in which there's like six middle-aged women turning 50, going away and spending time together, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of felt like, yeah, there's no plot, but I just enjoyed my hour and a half hanging out with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, like a lot of these comedies, some of the setups are a bit kind of hokey and unrealistic and, you know.
And cliched.
Yes, there's all that.
Yeah.
I think ultimately I was like, I enjoyed my time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Well, I mean, I must say I don't regret watching it. It's not like Magnolia where I wish I got that 3 hours back, but I'm glad I didn't go to the movies for it. There's Netflix movies, and then there's gold class movies, and then there's cheapy movies.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Mm. But although I feel like anything made for Netflix is immediately kind of in that DVD zone.
Yeah.
Where I'm already kind of primed to not think that it's event watching.
Interesting.
Even if it were. But,
But I really struggled with, there were so many trope kind of demonstrations. Like the whole, you millennials are moronic and we have nothing to offer kind of thing, where they go to this art show. And it's the us and them, you know, millennials versus the, I'm guessing they're Gen X's at 50. Does that, cause I'm on the end of Gen X. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that just didn't,
yeah,
it just felt so, ugh,
yeah,
meh, we've done this before.
Yeah. And, you know, I think too, like each of the female characters has to have some kind of, ooh, story.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I think they probably just didn't even need all of that. I actually think it could have been even more plotless.
Yes.
That it's just six friends hanging out.
Yeah.
And being hilarious.
Yeah.
And then it would have just actually played a lot better.
It could have been a show about nothing, Seinfeld-esque, and be hilarious. Mm-hmm. But they had to have this story and this drama about their lives that then had to play out. Well, how come we can't just get together and be freaking hilarious? because sometimes that's what happens. And it, I mean, I guess the comparison isn't fair, but for my 40th birthday listeners,
yes,
the library gang, of which Rach and I are members, our gang of awesome mums who take care of each other and are brilliantly kind and funny and amazing, surprised me with a night away. And it was just, what was it, 10 of us? 10 of us?
Yeah.
Like ridiculously hilarious.
Yeah.
Having a ball, making food, going for a walk, playing Cards Against Humanity.
That was the best.
That was the best.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like this movie could have been that.
Yeah.
But it had to have like, she's the one who works too much and she's the one who just got fired from her job and got divorced and then we have the lesbian, you know, like it was just a bit tropey, a bit too stereotypy for my liking.
Yeah.
I want to see, maybe we need to make it. Mm. We need to make it.
Yeah, we'll sure. Just, let's just make a movie.
Well, we can Blair Witch it and just like video us.
Oh, God.
Yeah. On one of these evenings out where there's laughter and tears and carry on and, you know, and that can be all it needs to be.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be this whole thing.
Actually, now what you just reminded me of, no one would watch that, Nicole.
I would watch it, right?
10 middle-aged women play Cards Against Humanity. Look, maybe they would. People listen to this. So
that's true. You know,
it's basically the same drivel. But you're reminding me, okay, so polarizing figure, actually not polarizing, just bad, Louis C.K.
Right.
Did you ever watch any episodes of his TV show?
No.
My husband was a massive fan, and then with all of the revelations, he's like, can't watch it anymore. Mm-hmm. That's a real shame.
Yeah.
Because he loved the Louis show.
Yeah.
And in one of the episodes of Louis, it's him and his mates playing poker, I think it is.
Yeah.
And it's literally just that, an entire half hour where they're just chatting in real time playing poker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See? We could have scripted it for Amy. And I mean, they even, I found it really interesting because they're obviously from, of, you know, improvisation and all that sort of stuff, which, you know, because it's Paula, Faye, who was seriously underutilized, Rachel Dratch, Catherine Hahn, and the other two, I can't remember.
I have a list in front of me.
Good. But yeah, they even like, this meta kind of comment in the middle of it, you know, why didn't you yes and me, which is such an improviser's kind of statement that when you make an offer in improvisation, the person is supposed to say yes and blah, 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 we build on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's such a weird in-joke to put within your movie that is not about any actors.
Yeah.
It just seemed really contrived and that,
yeah.
I was like, oh, man, this could have been so good.
Yeah. And what I realised when I was researching for this and I read some reviews is that this same group of women went away for a 50th birthday in wine country.
Oh, my word.
And then they all had a part in writing the script.
Oh. This art is what, imitating life, imitating art.
This is what the internet tells me.
Well, the internet has never been wrong, right?
No, no. So would you like to hear the list?
Go on.
We have Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph? How did I forget her? Yes.
We have Anna Gasteyer.
I'm not sure if that's the blonde. I'm
struggling to detach herself from work.
No, that's Catherine Hahn.
We have Paula Pell.
Oh, Paula Pell's the blonde.
Oh, yeah, it's not Catherine Hahn, but she does look really, really similar.
So it's not Catherine Hahn?
Catherine Hahn is younger. They have a similar looking face.
They, like, I really legitimately thought it was Catherine Hahn.
No.
Wow.
But I didn't know that was her name.
Hmm.
But I've seen her in many things.
Wow.
Did I say Paula Pell?
You just did.
I did. Emily Spivey.
I don't know who that
is. And Rachel Dratch.
Rachel Dratch.
So Rachel Dratch, who's the birthday girl, apparently was the birthday girl 2 years ago.
Wow.
And they must have all gone away and had a fabulous time and gone, let's just write a movie about our weekend away.
And isn't it interesting? If they had a time like the time that they portray in this film, I am sad for them. Surely they had a funner time than this.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think it just feeds that weird, like, there's some competitive kind of female stuff going on. There's weird kind of, I don't know, it just feeds a bizarre energy that I don't like women to be associated with.
Well, it was my feedback on the letdown. Why does everyone have to be so, like, stereotypical?
Yes.
Where are the normal people?
Yeah.
In this show?
Yeah.
Mm.
Do we really want to think of ourselves as normal, though?
But, like, people are really interesting within their normality.
Yes.
You don't have to kind of, you know, play up all of these weird features that no one actually has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the female friendship thing from a psychology point of view obviously is, you know, it's really healthy to have those female friendships, and it's really important to have those female friendships. And I just think it doesn't do them justice. I mean, I just felt sad for those women, because I guess, once again, I feel so darn lucky in the gang that we've kind of created, our tribe that we've created.
Yeah.
And I just felt sad for them that their tribe was a little bit splintered.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, you know, we're only in the 40 zone, maybe in 10 more years. Who knows?
Yeah, add some more life. But I think too, that idea of, like, having the same consistent friendship that lasts 30 years is really unusual, actually. Yeah. So, you know, I was telling you over our podcast break, I did some extracurricular study and I went and saw the live recording of Ladies We Need to Talk.
Yep.
And I told you that they were talking about friendship.
Yeah.
In and she has released it, by the way.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. So, I think it was probably like about 6 weeks ago or something that we went and saw it.
Yeah.
And then I just noticed last week it's dropped in the feed.
It's dropped.
So if you want to listen more about female friendships, you can listen to Yumi Stimes and Co.
Yeah.
And I was there in the live audience in Brisbane watching it recording. Yeah. So that was really interesting, because she's very helpfully summarised a lot of the facts and stats about adult female friendships.
Well done, Yumi.
I know.
How much do we love Yumi?
I know.
Mm-hmm.
So here's some little, I'll play what she played on the day.
Go on.
How many close friends do you have?
What do we classify as close, though?
This is interesting.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, would collect my children or me from the hospital or bail me out of jail? Those kind of friends? Is that the classification?
Interpret it as you will.
I would classify that probably, well, our gang of 10, probably. And different degrees of those 10. So not all of them would be bailing me out of jail. Maybe. I don't know.
The lawyer would.
As long as we signed on to pay attention to what she said to us.
Every girl gang must have a lawyer.
Honestly, it's brilliant. Criminal defence lawyer.
She's come in handy the last few years. Let's put it that way. And if she ever moves overseas, we'll have to recruit for another lawyer.
I know, it's true.
Join the group.
Yeah, we have to fill the void.
Mm.
Yeah. That's really interesting. I don't know.
Mm.
What would you say?
See, I know the research. I knew it beforehand.
Go on. Mm. That's just, you just put me right in that trap there, Rach.
But I think that I probably fall on the lower end.
Mm.
Because, so a really helpful actually way of thinking about it is that when you look at degrees of social support and meaningful social support, is that most people should have about five close friends.
Right.
So
not counting actual relatives, like my sister would be one of the top people in my list.
Mm, yeah. It kind of more generally is about support system.
Gotcha.
Because in your inner circle, so it's kind of like the five people you can count on one hand. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have too many in that area, because this is about like bond and intimacy as well.
Mm.
So I think it's kind of like who would you call if you're in a car crash? Who's the first person you call when you get big news?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, actually, my husband would be the first one on that list.
Yes.
But, you know, beyond him, like in terms of family, there's him. And then probably my sister would be in that inner circle as well.
Yep.
And I kind of would, I count them as being friends, because those are the people I go to for my social support.
Yeah.
And I think not everyone has that in their partnership in their relationship, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But that's the way it works in my relationship, is that we do tend to kind of use each other as that little kind of network.
Yeah.
And, you know, in many ways, like for me, that functions well enough most of the time.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, you can't practically have that many people in that inner circle. You end up always having a few select ones that you go to.
Mm.
And that's what elevates those friendships into being kind of like that best friendship or the close bond.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, having a best friend is quite unusual for adult females.
Yeah.
And also kind of like shaky territory, because if you just have this one person, if you don't have five, then – you know, what happens if the problem I'm having, that person just is not my person for that?
Yeah.
You've got
to... you know, they get themselves in some sort of trouble or issue where they're not...
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to have backup plans.
Yeah, yes.
You know, and we're not five. We're not a kindy. Like, small four has a new best friend every day.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. He came to me today and said that he played with a new boy that came to school and he was so excited because he's his BFF. And I'm like, great.
That is so awesome.
So different from the one you had yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I know. I kind of feel like little kids, I don't know if this is research-based, but I feel like that best friending is kind of like rehearsing for the life partner kind of thing as well.
That's interesting.
Like, you're my person.
Yeah.
It's locked in and you belong to me.
Yeah.
And they don't really mind so much that it changes the next week.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, just new person.
You know, slot in, slot out.
Yeah. Because I think we all like to feel like we have that special person in our life. But it's also unrealistic to kind of think I lock that in, that person in forever, and that's always going to be it.
And also that one person can fulfill all of the needs that you have emotionally and, you know, like it's just, it's not possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's the problem with having your intimate partner be in that circle and just that person.
Yeah.
And this is where men get themselves into a lot of trouble.
Oh boy, yeah.
Is that adult men tend to not maintain a boy gang.
Mm. It's true.
And tend to invest all of their social energy into their female partnerships.
Yeah.
And that becomes problematic.
Yes, it does. Big time.
So anyway, ideally, and most people have about five close friends you can count on one hand.
Yep.
Giving you flexibility in amongst those relationships, but it's not too crowded.
Yeah, I like that.
And this is where I get a little bit shakier, but it's something like around that you've got, say, like 20 to 30 close friends.
Hmm.
My friends. My friends.
Yeah.
And that might collect in a group, or it might be a few groups or something like that. And then beyond that, you've kind of got more like acquaintance, friend, friendly people, people I know, people I'd go and talk to at a party because I know them.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't hang out on a one-on-one date with them because that would seem a bit weird.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And then beyond that, you've got layers of like just general societal support and things like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you've got to have support of some kind.
You do.
Is the crux of it.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know? And maintaining those friendships is important. And I love that this film talks about maintaining those friendships.
Yeah.
I just don't necessarily like the way in which it's depicted. Is all I'm saying. But, you know, we do things to try and maintain our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
As a gang, and people drop in and out as they can. You know, like we try to have dinner once a month, and people can turn up or not turn up. Like it's hard to do all of the things.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's nice to know that there are people who have some kind of collective understanding and experience shared.
Well, yeah, I agree. Also, I think like for some like just to share my personal journey too with friendships, I'm quite introverted and I do quite well with not having like heaps of the people and the big thing, and I haven't always been great at maintaining a group, and I often would be like really down on myself because the friendship group I had at school, I sort of like post school selectively in a way chose to maintain two of those friends.
Yeah.
And they're still my two really close friends to this day.
Nice.
Even though we don't live in the same place or, you know, my friend Melissa. Hey, Mel.
Hi, Mel.
She now lives on the Sunshine Coast, so she's closer. But she was in Sydney for like 15 years.
Yeah.
And I count her kind of like my inner circle friend,
yeah,
because like maybe not with the car broken down because she's so far away, But if some other big shit were going down, I know that I could call her and rock up on a, you know, living room, and she would have me for a month. And like whatever, she's there. So even if you're not seeing these people all of the time, it's like that idea of there's someone who cares for me and will love me and nurture me and take me in.
There's a bond that is stronger than actual physical closeness, constant physical closeness.
Almost sibling-like, I think, actually, with my two friends from school.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
But the thing is with school is that it's such a pressure cooker. I mean, you know, that friendship kind of establishment and maintenance is really important during that time, because obviously there isn't anyone else around. You're just trying to maintain those friendships. And so you kind of put a lot of stock in them. And then you realize when you leave school that you don't necessarily have anything in common apart from you were born kind of around the same time and lived kind of in the same geographical vicinity, you know, like, and you leave school and you go to your 20th reunion and you go, I have nothing in common with any of these people.
And, you know, what was interesting about Ladies We Need to Talk, that discussion, Yumi was like, I feel like I haven't got many friends. But just like, it's kind of taboo how difficult it is, how normal it is for you to lose friends when you lose context and you're not around those people anymore. And you don't like realize that when you're at school it's actually rather convenient.
Of course.
And you're that right, you don't actually have to put a lot of effort in. But that's what can contribute to isolation as an adult, because like I would feel ashamed in a sense that I didn't really maintain strong friendships with my school friends. I moved like Gold Coast to Brisbane, like it's not that far away, but also I was a little bit kind of like, I'm doing my own thing. But then I had like a uni group. And so I was friends with them for a while. And then when I went into my postgrad, I sort of went to another group, and I just generally haven't been good at kind of like maintaining the group hang. And I was like, I'm such a loser. Like, you know, why? I would always kind of feel like I've been kicked out of the group.
Isn't that interesting?
So for me, it's really helpful to kind of understand all of this, that actually like that's normal. Like when I went to my 20-year reunion last year, I was very kind of like, oh, everyone's still really friendly. No one hates me. Like people, things just fall off, and you know, it's actually really difficult to kind of
But yeah, it is. I mean, I think school is a point in time, right? And then what is it they say? My mum always says, actually, you have friends for a reason, a season, a lifetime. You know, sometimes you are friends born out of a particular reason, like a school experience or a uni experience or a workplace, you know, those kind of friendships. And then you have some that are based on, you know, a particular time in your life that you're having. That seasonal kind of thing. And then others do last that lifetime. I mean, there are friends from school that I haven't seen for a year and a half. But, you know, if I needed to get bailed out of jail, I could call and I would be bailed out of jail. You know? Like, you know that there are people who are absolutely going to be there for you. But you're not able to be kind of in your life day to day. And everybody's busy, as you know, as you were saying at the top of our conversation. I'm busy. We're all busy. And so you can't necessarily maintain them.
Because I always like have been really judgmental and down on myself of kind of like, I just think because I am kind of introverted and I can easily feel crowded. Like there's too much social stuff on the agenda. And that I think too, like to be honest, I was really like painfully shy as a young child all through primary school, and I feel like I kind of missed some of the foundational skills of how to make friends. Like I was always very socially anxious, and I think that probably like I also didn't like then understand like how to invest and maintain friendships. Probably was always expecting like the other people to kind of like continue to do all of that stuff. And it's funny because my husband is like very sociable. And it's really interesting to watch him, because even when we moved to England, we never felt like isolated. Well, we had each other as well. But we really quickly made friends in a new country where things were like actually quite different. But that's like all him, actually. that when it's up to me, I'm kind of like, hello, who will be my friend? Oh, no
see,
one.
See, that's why it works, the yin to the yang, my friend.
Yeah.
Whereas, see, me as a kid, I just assumed everybody was my friend.
I think you still do, Nick.
Well, yeah, I think I still do.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I just assume that everyone has good intentions and wants to be a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that they're not, there's no ulterior motives.
Yeah.
There's no,
you know. Well, I think at nearly 40, I've finally grown up slightly. But I now watch people around me that it doesn't just happen through magic.
Mm.
That, like, actually, it's not that hard to go up to someone who you don't know so well and be like, hey, do you want to catch up for coffee?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, just text people and just, like, put in effort.
Yeah, I know. But it is. It's like any relationship, right? Mm. A friendship is just like a marriage, is like a, you know, sibling, is like a parent, child. It's everything takes a little bit of effort, right? And it takes effort on both sides. Like, you can't create a friendship by yourself. I think that's a lot of adult women actually kind of have like a friend breakup because they find they're the ones who are always trying to maintain the friendship. And, you know, that can be exhausting as well. There has to be some kind of mutual want, need for that kind of relationship. So, wine country, interesting, could be a lot better. I feel like it was a missed opportunity for celebrating female friendship.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned for our own version of Wine Country. Hey, our girl gang, what is it, girl squad?
Yep.
Is going out for another friend's 40th in the next couple of weeks.
Indeed we are.
And we're going, where are we going? What's it called?
Escape hunt. Yeah.
It's we're going escape rooming.
Yes, we are.
All right. So we're going to just rig a camera.
We should. We should just GoPro. We should just GoPro. Oh, God. But we'd have to have two, because then otherwise I wouldn't see you if it was on your head. So, you know.
All right. Stay tuned, people. Coming to a cinema near you.
Escape rooming.
Girl squad escapes.
Yes. I like it. So we have not discussed yet what the next discussion topic was going to be.
Correct.
I remember during our break, though, we had discussed it and went, oh, that will be week two.
Okay.
Or, you know, episode two.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what that was. I didn't write it down. Yeah. High pre-production values here. We'll work it out, listeners. It's a mystery you're going to help us solve.
Excellent.
See? Escape room, mysteries, it's all tied in.
Okay. So when we go to the escape room, we'll unbox what the next topic will be.
Yay.
Fantastic.
I like
it. And you have to watch the YouTube movie that we're going to make of it in order to find out what it will be.
Indeed.
Excellent. All right. Well, is that enough faffing on for today?
I think it might be enough faffing on for today.
Wonderful.
Rach.
Well, I reckon follow us on socials.
Oh,
thank
my
you
goodness,
so
yes.
much for everybody who's been supporting us the last two seasons.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see our community growing.
We love it.
We love it, and it brings it so much joy, and we would love listener suggestions.
Yes. We would also love you to rate and subscribe and leave us a review, because that helps other people find us, and they can also listen to this faff.
Wonderful. Faff on.
Faff on.
And until next time, hug your friends.
Yeah, and your babies.
Hug your babies. Be kind to yourself.
And each other, and we will see you on the flip side.
Okay, bye.
Bye.